Well, it seems like a cold front has blown through out there, and it's feeling pretty good. I like it. It's nice and refreshing, and fall is a favorite time of year for me. I get kind of put out with winter, and I'm ready for spring, but I like fall. That's my favorite time of year. Psalms chapter 127, and we're going to read all five verses. Our main focus will be on the first few words of the first verse. And we're going to look tonight at a life built by the Lord. A life built by the Lord. Is God building your life? Is He the architect of your life? That's the question we want to answer this evening. And we're going to read all five verses there. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings toward us. We thank You for watching over us for another week. We thank You for a good start to another week. We thank You for the first day of the week. Father, we pray that we would dedicate our lives to You each and every day. Lord, we pray that, God, we would live our lives to please You. Lord, You'd help us to be strong in the faith, to be faithful to You. Father, we pray that You'd lead us and guide us and direct us as we study this evening. We look into Your Word. I pray that You'd give me the words to speak. I pray that You'd speak to hearts here this evening. You know exactly what is going on in the hearts of people. And I pray that You'd do that what I cannot do, and that is speak to their hearts. And I'll thank You for it, Lord. I love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll look at a life built by the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalm 127, he says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." I don't know about you here this evening. I'm sure that everyone would probably agree with me that I want God to be the architect of my life. I certainly don't want to be the one who is in control of my life. I tried that before, and I made a big, huge mess out of it. And I'd be like a little kid making mud pies. He really thinks he's doing a good job there and making quite a little creation, but actually it's just a little mud pie. And that's kind of what humans do with their lives when they don't have God at the helm. I have a quote here from Stephen Gadiner. He's a British architect. He said, "Good buildings come from good people, and all problems are solved by good design." So if you want a good building, you have to have a good designer. You have to have a good architect. If you have a bad architect, you're going to have a crummy building. And nobody wants that. And so we must have a good designer, and God is the good designer that we need. Everything that is good within us is the Lord. He is what is good within us. And that's what we need. And think about a lot of buildings that were built in the Bible. And a lot of people tried to build things, and God was not too impressed with those buildings, and they ended up coming to naught. We think about Genesis chapter number 11, and they were trying to establish a one world government and a one world whatever there, a one world system. And so they decided that they were going to try and build a tower up to God. They said, "Let us build a tower up to heaven so that we can reach up to God." They want to try and reach up there to God. They said, "Let us make us a name. Let us build us a building so that we may reach up to heaven." And God saw all of that, and He was looking down. He said, "Well, let's go down there and take a look and see what they're doing. See how they're doing that." And so what God found is that they were trying to build something without Him. They were trying to build a building. They were trying to establish something, and God wasn't anywhere around that. They were trying to establish a government or a system, and God wasn't involved in it. And so God said, "Well, no, you're not going to build that. I'm going to confound your language so that you will have to split up and you won't come together and build that building together." If God is not the architect of the building, that building is going to come to naught. whenever he chooses to bring it to naught. Think again in the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 23, Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees, and they had a temple there. They had a system of worship, and Jesus Christ came to them, and he says, "How often I would have gathered you together as a children gathers her hens together under her chickens together under her wings, but you would not." He said, "You're your father, the devil." He said that you're the same ones that killed the prophets and the preachers and the pastors that were sent to you to prophesy. And he said, "Your house is left unto you desolate." He said that the temple that you so much cherish, that you so love, there's not going to be one stone left upon another, because they had rejected God's Son, they had rejected God's prophets, and they had rejected God altogether. And so you have a very ominous thing that happens there at the beginning of Matthew chapter number 24, as God, or as Jesus Christ, walks out of the temple and leaves it desolate. And he says, "You won't see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" So the Pharisees and the religious hypocrites of Christ's day were trying to build something. They were trying to establish something. But yet they were doing it without the architect of the universe, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was come to naught. When we read this passage of Scripture here, we look at this and we see that the psalmist is speaking here about God's ultimate power and authority that the Lord exercises over his creation. He looks and he sees this and he says, "Hey, look, children are an inheritance from the Lord." Aren't you glad that you have children here today? That's a blessing from the Lord. It's something that's going to carry your name on, carry your legacy on, carry your life on. And that comes from God. God is the one who supplies children. He's the one who opens the womb. It's a miraculous thing when a child is born and God gives it to us. Amen. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor build it in vain. It's a vain thing if you discard God and try to cut him out of your life and try to build a life without God in it. God must be the one who builds the house, or it's going to come to naught. We define house in this text here, and it could be all of the people in the immediate house. It could be the mom and the dad, the children. It could be all of the people there. That's what he could be talking about. But today, we are going to apply the house to us as everything in your life. Your career, your job, your marriage, your life, everything about you. That's what your house is. And if you build your life without God in it, it's going to come to naught. You're going to find destruction at the end of that road. God must be the one who builds the life. God must be the one who builds the house. Are you laboring in vain? How does God build the house? What does that mean? Is God coming down here physically and he's walking around working on our job site and instructing you and coming to your house and telling you what to do? No, he's not doing any of that. What I mean by that is, are you trusting God as you build your house? Because the text says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We don't cut out work. We all have to labor. But are you trusting God as you work? Are you trusting God as you labor? As you build your life, as you make decisions, as you do the things that you do, is God anywhere around in your mind and you're thinking about that and saying, "I wonder what God thinks about this," or am I trusting God as I build the house? Is God building the house? It means relying upon the Lord and not upon yourself. It means asking God for his blessing upon the things that you do. Would you mind if God came to your house and caught you doing the things that you were doing and saw the things that you were doing in your life? Would he bless it? But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Do we acknowledge God in our lives, in the things that we do? Is God the architect of our life? Or is it just us? Is it just you? I want to look at three ways that we can trust the Lord of our life in the construction process of our life. There's three things. Number one, we have to trust God's plans. Number two, we have to trust God's provisions. That's the materials that He's going to build with. And number three, we have to trust God's power. If God is going to build the house, we have to trust Him in everything. Now, if you're going to build something, you have to trust the plans that are made. If you're going to build a house, you have to have blueprints. You can't just go out there haphazardly and say, well, here's a pile of wood, let's start building something. I don't have a vision, I don't have a plan, I have nothing drawn up. I've seen people try to do that and it doesn't work out very good. You need a plan. Draw them out. Where do you want the windows at? Where do you want the front door at? How steep of a pitch do you want on the roof? What are the blueprints for this? What kind of windows do you want? What kind of flooring do you want? As a matter of fact, that kind of stuff drives me nuts. Trying to figure all that stuff out, my goodness. You have to have blueprints. You have to have plans. I haven't done a whole lot of building construction. I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. I can do a little bit of everything, but I'm not real good at anything. Now, I haven't done a whole lot of home construction, but I have done quite a bit of dirt construction. I don't know, when you go out on a dirt job, a dirt site, you get out there and all you have is a bunch of stakes out there and it looks like a rat maze or something like that and nobody can make heads or tails of it. I've done pipeline construction. Usually when you do pipeline construction, you have a straight line and you just follow the sticks. That's all you do. Anybody can do that. But on pipeline construction, you're laying out a path. You're laying out a pattern for where this pipeline is going. You got to follow the stakes. That's your blueprint. That's your plans for the job. Did you know that God has some plans for your life? He's got some blueprints for your life. Any construction project has that. Sometimes we make plans for life. And I alluded this morning to people making plans and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if I sounded like I was against people making plans, I'm not against people making plans. I think that's a smart thing, as a matter of fact. And we all make plans for life. You make plans for marriage. You make plans about where you're going to go to church, where you're going to work, what you're going to do, where you're going to go to college. We all make plans like that, a place to live. We plan out our lives. That's great. But do your plans include God? Do you pray about the plans that you have? Do you pray before you make plans? Boy, does God want me to do this? Does God want me to move here? Does God want me to go to church here? Does God want me to do this or that? Do you trust God with the plans of your life? Because we must trust God with our plans. Some people make plans and they never consult God. They never even think about God. God is somewhere in the background. And they never thought about asking God, not one time, and they went ahead and they made a plan and they did it. And then they fell flat on their face. And sometimes they don't ever learn. We need to ask God before we make plans and trust the plans of God. In Luke chapter number 12, there's a farmer that decided that he was going to build bigger barns. He said, you know what? I've got plenty of crops out there. The ground has been giving me a good living. And he says, my barns that I have out there are just way too small and I need some bigger barns. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to store up all of my crops in there. And then I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry because I'm going to have plenty of money. I just made a bunch of plans out there. And you know what his problem was? He didn't acknowledge God not one single time. He did not acknowledge that God gave him those crops. He did not acknowledge that God had been a blessing to him. He did not acknowledge any of those things. And you know what God said? Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then who's going to get all of the things that you got there, Mr. Farmer? Because you did not acknowledge me one time in the plans that you made. Do your plans and do my plans include God? Are we trusting God with our plans? We must trust God with the plans of our life. You know why? Because a lot of times God's plans are different than our plans. Can I tell you something here this evening? Your life is not going to turn out the way you think it's going to turn out. You know, I used to dream a lot whenever I was a kid about what I was going to do, how I was going to... You know what I wanted to do whenever I was a kid, maybe 6, 7, 8 years old? I thought, man, I want to be a police officer. I never made it. Did you know that our plans are different than God's plans, and sometimes our lives are not going to turn out the way that we think they are? Do you know what we need to be? We need to be flexible with God. If God has got something else for us, we need to submit to that and be flexible to those plans. Because God's plans are better than our plans. Now you think about Jeremiah the prophet. God told Jeremiah the prophet, he says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations." Before you even came out of the womb, Jeremiah, I ordained you to be a prophet and to be a preacher. And do you know what Jeremiah said? Jeremiah said, "Hey, now wait a minute, I'm not a very good talker. I'm not a very good speaker. I don't think I can go through with that." You know what God said? God said, "Yes, you can. I'll be with you. I formed man's mouth. I'll be with you." He says, "Man, I'm just a child. There's no way that I can go out and I can preach and I can do things like that." And God said, "Yeah, I've got a plan for you, Jeremiah. And this is what you're going to do." And that's what he did. Sometimes our plans are different than God's plans. We think about Moses. All of the things that happened in Moses' life. The fact that he was found in the Nile River. The fact that he was raised in Pharaoh's house. The fact that all of these things happened in Pharaoh's life. The fact that he was a sheep herder on the backside of the desert and he met God in a burning bush. God had a plan for Moses' life. And when God brought him down to the right time, at the right place, God said to Moses, he said, "You're going to lead my people out of bondage, out of the land of Egypt. You're going to be their leader, Moses." I don't think Moses was very assertive. Because Moses said, "Now wait a minute. I'm not a very good speaker either. I'm tongue-tied. I can't speak." And God said, "Yes, you can. I'll give you some help. I'll give you Aaron, your brother. He's a good speaker. He can help you." God's plans are different than our plans. We ought to be flexible with God's plans. Follow God's plans. Think again one more time about Jonah. Now, God told Jonah to do something, and he gave him a revelation. He says, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh." And Jonah said, "No, I want to go to Tarshish." And God said, "No, you're going to go to Nineveh." Jonah tried to run from God, tried to escape from God's plan, and God said, "No, I'm going to steer you right back over here. I have prepared a great storm for you, Jonah, and then I have prepared a great fish for you, Jonah, and you're going to do it." You know, Jonah could have avoided a lot of heartache and a lot of pain and a lot of suffering if he had just went ahead and went on to to Nineveh, like God called him to. Amen. You know what? Sometimes God's plans are different than our plans. Are you flexible tonight with God's plans? Are you praying about what God's plans are for your life? Or are you just going on your merry way and you say, "I don't need to talk to God. I don't need to consult God. I don't need anything to do with God." A lot of Christians live their life that way. We must trust God's plans. If He's going to build the house, He can do a lot better job than we can. Secondly, we need to trust the provisions and the materials that God is going to use. If you're going to build a house, you're going to build anything, it's going to be made out of something. It's going to be made out of some kind of material. If you're going to build a house, you're going to need 2x4s and 2x6s and 2x10s and bricks and wooden fence and marble floors, granite countertops. We just bought a house over here recently and it had popcorn ceilings in it. I'd like to strangle the guy who came up with popcorn ceilings. Those things are dingy and ugly and outdated. Me and my wife have been over there scraping on that thing off and on for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I hate popcorn ceilings. What kind of materials would God use to build your life? Because everything takes material. Again, dirt work, boy, you got to use some kind of material. You use topsoil or clay or rock or something like that. You need bulldozers, motor graders. You're going to dig out all that. You need excavators. And you need all of that material in order to build something. And God uses things in our lives to build our lives. You ever thought about what God uses to build our lives? What He does in order to construct our lives? What constitutes your daily life? How is God building our lives? First thing I thought about it, how God builds our lives, He uses trials and tests sometimes and puts in our life. And it molds us into who we are and how we think and how we react. We've been studying Job in Sunday school class, and God had allowed some trials and tests to come into Job's life. Boy, it wasn't very enjoyable for Job. There he is sitting in the middle of an ash pile, scraping boils off his skin with a broken piece of pottery. He doesn't know what to think or what to do. He's got three friends there that are not being very much help to him. And he's thinking about it. He's saying, I don't know what's going on. I don't know where God is. I look behind me and He's not there. I look to the side and He's not there. I look forward and He's not there. I don't know what's going on in my life. But I know that God is there and that He's doing something. He said, when I come forth from the fire, I shall come forth as gold. God had been trying Job. He had been trying to expunge some things out of his life that didn't need to be there. He was trying to get some impurities out of his life. He used that fire as a construction material to work on Job's life and remove those impurities out of his life. He knew that God was there. How about the trials and tests in your life? Do you ever think about that? Like, well, maybe God is putting me through this. These things are happening in my life for a reason. God is trying to get some things out of my life. Did you know that if you never had any... Can you imagine what kind of people that we would be if we never had any hardships? If we never had any trouble? What kind of people do you think we'd be? We'd be a bunch of spoiled brats. That's the way we'd be. We'd have no character. We'd demand everything right away. We would demand God give us everything right away because we would never have any character built. So God says, okay, I'm going to use some trials and tests in your life as construction material. God will use blessings in our life as well. Do you recognize that the blessings of God are all given to you as He's working on your life and giving you the things that you need? All of the graces that God has brought into your life and how it has blessed your life and enriched your life and strengthened your life, those are construction materials that God has used in your life to build you and to help you. The Bible says in James chapter number 1, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The gift of God is given to us. Salvation is given to us to enrich our lives and enrich the lives of others around us. It's a construction material that God uses to help us and to strengthen us. Another thing God uses in our lives, people. People. I don't care whether they're good or bad. I don't care whether they're a thorn in your side or a friend or a pastor or a preacher, but God gives us people in our lives to mold us and to make us and to shape us into what He wants us to be. God sends people into our lives. We have friends. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. We have parents. We have our spouses. We have pastors and teachers. We read in Ephesians chapter number 4 that God gave gifts to the church. Pastors, preachers, and teachers. Why? For the edifying of the body of Christ, to build us up and to strengthen us as a strong edifice. That's a construction material that God is using. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter number 20, verse number 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified." Why are we here preaching and teaching? It's to build us up and strengthen us. Boy, don't be a weak Christian. Be a strong Christian in the Lord. God has given us people in our lives to mold us and shape us into who He wants us to be. Don't ever think that the associations that you have and the friends that you have and the spouse that you have is there by accident. God puts people in your life and in my life for a reason, and it's there for our enrichment. Trust the building materials that God is using. Thirdly, we must trust in the power of God. We can't do it on our own. We can't construct our lives on our own. If you do, you are deceived. You must trust God. We learned about wisdom this morning during the Sunday school lesson. God, we need wisdom. In this world, in this day and age, we need wisdom. And that wisdom comes from God and from God alone. We must trust in the power of God. He says, except the Lord build the house, he that labors, labors in vain. If God doesn't build it, if it's not by His power, then it will come to naught. If you're going to build something, you need some power. You can't go out there and build a house or a building or an edifice without some kind of strength, without some kind of work, without some kind of muscle, without some kind of sweat and tears. It takes power to build something. Is God the one that's building your house? Is it by the power of God? Are you trusting God in your life to build your life? In His power, are you relying upon God? Or is it you relying upon yourself? Or am I relying upon myself? We must trust in the power of God. Without fuel in a gas tank, the vehicle is nothing but a big mass of metal. It's not going anywhere. Without an ignition source, it's just going to sit there. It's not going anywhere. Without the power of God, we are going nowhere. And our life will come to nothing. We must have a life that is built upon the power of the Lord. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 acknowledged that God is the one who produces the life. He says, I watered, Apollos watered, planted seeds. We did all of these things, but yet God brought the increase. He's the one that brought the increase in the fruit. Hey, we can go out there and we can labor and we can plant seeds and we can preach and we can tell other people about Jesus Christ. But do you know who brings the fruit forth in all of that work? It is God. God is the one who brings forth new life. Regeneration comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Comes from nowhere else. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We are laborers together with God. Thank God that we have a privilege. We have the privilege to serve with Him in His work. It is the grace of God that makes a crop possible. Yes, we can do all of the things that we are told to do. We can teach our kids. We can witness. All of those things, but God gives the results. The foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ is what gives us the power to withstand the storms that are going to come in our life. Same portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Are you going to be able to withstand the storms of life? Is your house going to stand up to the storms of life? When the bad times come, when the trials come, when the heartaches come, will your house withstand the storm? Is it built upon the Lord Jesus Christ as a foundation? That's the only way that you and I are going to be able to stand. Jesus Christ, speaking to His disciples, said, "The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the winds came, and the storms came, and the wind beat upon that house, but it stood firm. And then the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the same storm came, and the wind came, and all of the rain came beating down upon that house, and great was the fall of that house." Why? Because of what it was built upon. You can't build your life upon the shifting sands of worldly philosophy and expect your house to stand in the end. It's not going to withstand the storms, I guarantee you. You need something that does not change and that is firm, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them I will liken him unto a wise man. Is your life built upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is God the architect? What's the results if we build that house? If God is the architect of your life? The first thing, the first result, is we'll have peace. Peace. I don't know if you noticed in verse number 2, the psalmist says, "It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late and eat the bread of sorrows." The psalmist says, if God is not building your house and if he's not the architect of your house, you're going to sit up late and have anxiety and worry about what's going on in your life. And that's a vain thing to do. Anybody here ever got anything accomplished by worrying? Not one thing. Might give you some health problems, but that's about it. Those who have God as their architect don't sit up late and rise up early because of worry and anxiety. Let God build your house. Let Him be the architect. Don't spend your life wallowing in sadness and sorrow about different things that are going on in your life. Say, hey, God is in control. He's got it. He's got it. Now, either you're in control or God's in control. Who do you think is in control? Is it God or is it you? Because if it's me, I'm going to sit up late and I'm going to get up early and I'm going to be worrying. I'm going to be full of anxiety. Every time that the bad things happen in our life, we must go to God and say, hey, God has this. God is in control. It's in His hands. I give it to Him. We must be at peace with God because we committed everything to Him. We don't sit up and say, well, I don't know if I did enough. I don't know if I was good enough. Newsflash, you're not. Neither am I. We've all fallen short. Every one of us. So we lean upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is peace for those who have God as the architect of their house. Number two, there's rest. There's rest. He said in verse number 2, "For so He giveth His beloved sleep." Are you part of the beloved? Are you in the beloved? Do you know who the beloved is? It's Jesus Christ and anybody who is connected to Jesus Christ by salvation. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 1 that we are accepted in the beloved. So how do we find that rest? Give it to God. If God is the architect of your house, give it to God and you'll find rest there. We are accepted. Jesus Christ, again, speaking in Matthew chapter number 11, He said, "Come unto Me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You'll find rest for your souls. He said, "For I am meek and lowly," and you'll find rest for your souls. You're not going to find true rest out there in the world. You're only going to find it in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. If you forsake God, you forsake the godly materials and the godly plan for His life and the godly power that you have, and you decide that I'm going to build my life with worldly influences, with the worldly materials that I have out there, and it's not going to be with God, your life is going to come crumbling down. You know what's going to happen one day in the future? You're going to have to live in that house. You build a house, you're going to have to live in it. You make a life right now, you're going to have to live in it here in a few years. Let God build it. Let God be the architect of your house. I guarantee you, He can build a much better life than you or I can. I guarantee it. "There is no peace, saith my Lord, unto the wicked." We must trust God in everything. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Anything that you and I do for the Lord, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Let us labor for the Lord and let Him be the architect of our house. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.